Hey, you guys, Flickers of Fear time, doing another movie review, and this is kind of a recent movie, and one that I'd actually heard a lot about. Like I said, I kind of peruse a lot of those, you know, best horror movies of the last 5 years, last 10 years, whatever, just so I can get like a list of, you know, stuff that I want to watch that I can put on my list, and this is one that's been on the list for a long time. This came out in 2018, and it's called Piercing. Now, this is actually on, in the U.S., I'm not sure about other countries, it's actually on Netflix, which I didn't know, but I watched it on UK Shudder with my VPN, so it's on there as well. So if you're in the UK and you don't have it on Netflix, then it should be on your Shudder. Now, this movie has a pretty awesome horror pedigree, let's call it that. So it was directed by Nicholas Pesce, or Pesci, I'm not really sure, it's P-E-S-C-E, I'm not really sure how you pronounce that, who was the same guy who debuted back in 2016 with the very weird black and white movie, The Eyes of My Mother, which I really dug, but I knew it was like really divisive. So he directed it and he wrote the screenplay. However, this is actually based on a novel by Ryu Murakami, who was the same guy who wrote the novel that the movie Audition was based on. Now, from what I've heard, I haven't read the novel, but I've heard that this movie is pretty accurate to the book. So I will say that if you liked Audition, then you'll probably like this as well, although because it's kind of along the same lines, but I don't think it's as disturbing or as gross and, you know, cringe-inducing as Audition was, because that one was kind of hard to sit through. This one has some kind of squicky shit in it, you know, and some stuff that's kind of like, ew, you know, but nothing that bad. Like, I was never at any point like, oh man, I can't watch that. You know, there are some, you know, close-ups of somebody piercing a nipple, somebody, you know, hitting somebody with a can opener or whatever it is, and like taking part of their ear off and shit like that. So it is kind of like that. But, you know, if you're into gory shit, and like I said, if you were able to sit through Audition, then this will be like a walk in the park, even though this does have some gore in it. But if you're squeamish, you probably would want to skip it because it's kind of... So as I said, this came out in 2018 and it stars Christopher Abbott, who I immediately recognized because he was in Possessor and he was also in Vox Lux, which is actually a pretty decent movie if you haven't seen it. I saw it in the theater and then it just kind of went nowhere. He was also in It Comes at Night, which was also a really decent movie. It also has Mia Wasikowska, who I also immediately recognized from Crimson Peak. She was also in Only Lovers Left Alive and The Devil All the Time. You know, she's been in a bunch of stuff. So this movie, the coolest thing about this movie, I thought, was this is very much, you know, Audition type shit, like Takashi Miike meets Dario Argento by way of Cronenberg. You know what I'm saying? Not as awesome as like that implies, but still pretty damn good. I mean, I really, really did like this movie. It seems like it got fairly decent reviews, up in the 75-80%. A lot of people didn't like the ending, thought the ending was too abrupt, or it was just kind of like, oh, that's it. I didn't really get that, but I can see how maybe you would think that. So yeah, I think that was kind of the most divisive thing, that a lot of people just really didn't like the way it ended, or, you know, that the ending was anticlimactic or whatever. That was like the main complaint that I saw about this movie. So you're following this dude, Reed, and the very first scene of the movie, which, you know, guarantees to kind of get you sucked into this, is that he's there with his wife who's sleeping and his baby, and he's basically like standing over his baby, gonna stab the baby with the ice pick, right? Implication being that this dude is a serial killer and he has to go out and kill random people, or he will turn this proclivity on his own family. So that's basically what the movie is. It's just this guy, and he tells his wife, you know, he's going on a business trip, but the whole purpose of this business trip is he's gonna go and stay in this hotel, and he's gonna order a prostitute. He's gonna order a prostitute. That's like a funny way of putting it. But he's just gonna call up an escort service and get a prostitute, and he's going to tie her up and kill her. That happens, like he does that. And it's actually kind of funny. It's weird because this movie, as fucked up as the premise is, it's almost, I don't know if I want to go as far as to say it's like a black comedy, but it definitely does have a lot of fucked up, like comedic, funny shit in it, which I don't know. I like that, but maybe some people I think thought it was a little jarring, but I didn't. So I guess the one prostitute that he had wanted was not available. Because he was like, you know, he wanted one that was into like BDSM just so he would be able to tie her up and kill her, you know, so it'd be easier for him in that way. So he's like, before she shows up, he's like practicing, which I think is like kind of funny, but like it's really fucked up and funny. So he's just kind of like going around the room, like, you know, practicing, and there's like sound effects and stuff while he was practicing. It's not quite as goofy as it sounds like when I'm describing it, but it's still pretty funny. So the prostitute he wanted was not available, so he gets this other one, Jackie. Now, when Jackie shows up, she's got some of her own issues, which I don't want to kind of spoil it too much because this is one of those movies where I didn't really, other than the barest minimum, like this guy's a serial killer and he calls his prostitute and he's going to kill her and then, you know, but she's not what he bargained for. So that's all I knew going into this movie. And I think it's good that that's all you know going into this movie, because this is kind of like I said, if you saw Audition, you'll kind of know it's in that ballpark where it's just kind of like a power dynamic between these two characters that keep... it keeps kind of going back and forth between the two of them, like, you know, and it also kind of goes back and forth between both of them having their own, like I said, their own kind of fucked up issues. And you're not really entirely sure, like, you kind of know what his deal is because he's clearly like a serial killer because he's got like a whole notebook and everything. But you're not really entirely sure what her deal is. And I don't think you ever really find out. Like, you can tell what some of her shit is, but I don't know. There's some places where it could kind of go either way and they don't really resolve it. But in a way, I kind of liked that they didn't really resolve her character. Like, oh, she's this or she's that. It just makes it a lot more intriguing. So it's like this really bizarre, kind of gory, psychosexual. It is a horror movie, but it's kind of like, it's mostly just the two of them. Like, you know, in the hotel room, in her apartment, in the hospital, in, you know, other places, and just kind of this dynamic, like switching back and forth between them. But it's not like if you saw his Nicholas Pesch's first film, like The Eyes of My Mother, which was very, like, I loved it, but it was like real arty farty. So I can see why some, like, it was real divisive. This one is less arty farty, although I'll get into that in a little bit. And it's not slow. I didn't find it slow at all. And it's actually pretty short. It's only like an hour and 21 minutes long or something like that. So it just kind of like flew by. I don't know. It's just a real strange, it's more like a weird character study, I guess, than a sort of action-packed. But like I said, there is a lot of gore in it. There is a lot of stabbing. There is a lot of like uncomfortable injuries and things of that nature. So just know that going into it. The thing that is my favorite thing about this movie is that Nicholas Pesch decided to make it an homage to several, like, particular kinds of movie subgenres, particularly the giallo. And you guys know how much I love that kind of shit. So anybody that does anything that's like an homage to giallo movies, I'm all about that shit. This one, he does some Brian De Palma shit too, because he does like a lot of kind of split screen, like, you know, like Brian De Palma did. And, but he goes so far with the giallo stuff. This isn't a giallo movie necessarily, because it's not, it doesn't have that same structure, but visually it kind of looks like that. And I love the way, like, a lot of it is real stylized. Like, if you watch the end credits, which I would advise because they're super cool, they had built these miniatures of all these little buildings, you know, like skyscrapers and stuff. And it just kind of, the end credits just kind of go like panning over, like up and down and across these miniatures. And they're really like amazing. Also, this movie straight up uses the music, Goblin's music from Profondo Rosso, Deep Red, and also from Tenebrae. So it actually uses the Deep Red main theme, not only during, I think, the end credits, but it uses it like at one point during the movie too. And it even has that kind of like real long tracking shot type of thing. So it's definitely homaging that. And I thought that was really, really cool. And I just really liked that aspect of it. You know, yeah, you could say it's that he's just like ripping it off or whatever, but I don't, you know, I didn't really think of it that way because the movie is not like a giallo movie otherwise, but I like that he decided he was going to make it this stylized, you know, just like the look of it, the sound of it. And I thought that was really, really cool. So that was probably like my favorite aspect of this, that and the acting performances, which are phenomenal, which is good because pretty much this entire movie is just these two characters interacting with one another. And I liked that there was kind of, and that's what I meant when I said that it's better not knowing too much about where the movie's going, like when you first go into it, because it kind of keeps you on edge the whole time because you're not really sure. Like I said, you're kind of sure what his deal is, but you're not real sure what her deal is. You know what I mean? So it could kind of go any way. She's kind of a wild card. And so I kind of liked that about it because I never really knew like which direction it was going to go in and like, you know, what was going to happen. So it kept me interested all the way through. That said, I can understand why some people criticize that the end seemed kind of abrupt or that it didn't really like go anywhere. It didn't amount to anything. Like a lot of people said it ended and I was like, oh, that's it. And like, I think one horror girl I watch, Spooky Astronaut, she's Australian. And she actually saw this in the theater when it came out. And I watched her review of it earlier today and she really loved it up until the end. And she just thought the ending ruined it. So she had some kind of strong feelings about it. I didn't think that at all. It was kind of like this big, long, convoluted, like fucked up thing. And then the end was almost kind of like the punchline of a joke, I guess. But I don't know. I kind of dug that. That said, it's not as amazing because, like I said, it's very, very Dario Argento, very Cronenberg. It has some Cronenbergian like body horror type shit in there. It's kind of got De Palma type of shit to it, you know, kind of an homage to that era. It's not, like I said, it's not as fantastic as all of those things together like would imply, but it's still pretty fucking good. Like I thought it was really good. I had a good time with it. It kind of had that fucked up like black humor that I really like, and I really loved the visuals of it. I love that it used the Deep Red like main title theme. It's like when it first came on in the movie, I laughed out loud. I was like, no fucking way, because I love that piece of music. So I love that. I loved the little miniatures and all that. And like I said, the acting performances are fantastic. So this is definitely one that, you know, if anything, like I said, if you liked Audition, this is kind of in the same ballpark, but it's not as extreme as that. I don't think you're, you know, if you didn't have trouble sitting through Audition, I don't think you'll have any trouble sitting through this. This was not nearly as revolting as that one was, but it's kind of in the same wheelhouse, I guess. So if you liked any of that stuff that I mentioned, then by all means, check it out and tell me what you thought of it in the comments. You know, did the ending ruin it for you? It didn't for me, but I know it did for some people, and I kind of get that. But I really liked it. I liked the performances. I just really liked the vibe of the whole movie. Like I said, if you're in the US, not sure about other countries, it is on Netflix, which I didn't realize until today. But I watched it on Shudder UK, the British Shudder. So it's on there as well. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.